Yeah, I'm just saying that this is something that continues to this day. Maybe they don't call it COINTEL now. They call it some other type of name, state security or homeland security or whatever it is. But it's the same thing as before. Now it's covered like an ice cream cone. And you put some chocolate sprinkles over it. Now it's covered, but it's the same thing.
Right.
What happened with that nut, with that $100,000 weave in his head? They looked like a corn head. What did he do to people who were demonstrating for the Democratic rights in Washington, D.C.? He tear gassed them and beat the hell out of them and arrested them. And they didn't have to do that. But what happened on January the 6th? The seed of the Confederacy, the KKK, and all these other characters, John Birch Society and all these, the Proud Keepers, the Proud Boys and all this, they didn't do anything to them. Now they just recently arrested a couple of them. But did they brutalize them? Oh, the cops are taking pictures of them. They were shaking hands with them and laughing at them and giving them ice cream and letting them get some cold beer and all that. They didn't beat them up. They just allowed them and told them, you're all right, you're a good guy. Those are bad people, but you're a good guy. So let's look at this as
okay. Leon, you want to say something?
Well, everything, like, I agree 100% with everything Carlos just said. I'd only add maybe when we talk about COINTELPRO, very much rings a lot of bells, because the brothers, as you know, they were taped under COINTELPRO. The FBI taped us, our phones, tapped our phones, and tapped my house for over 5 years.
Tapped our house and broke into our house and stole our things and tried to get any type of things against us.
And they did that for, you know, 4 or 5 years. But then when we during that time when it was happening, we would joke and say we're attacked, we gotta be careful. But then we came to realize when the Socialist Workers Party sued the FBI, and they won their suit, that's when we, and there were articles written about it, that's when we realized that they were in fact are taping our phones. And when you think that the brothers was a group in Albany, that they put that much time in a group such as the brothers, they tapped all the leaders, Sam McDowell, Pete Jones, myself, all our phones were tapped to try to find something out on it. But that's the history of this country. I'm quite sure that the leaders of Black Lives Matter, all their phones attacked or taped. Radio stations, such as the one here with the community radio station, I'm quite sure that they are tapping your phone. Don't assume that they're not. Really don't assume that your phone's not being tapped because they're paranoid. So that's a lesson to be learned from the past, is that for the most part, and it was doing any of those things subversive, especially like we saw January 6th. I mean, can you imagine a demonstration by the left, or civil rights activists, beating up police, breaking into the Capitol? We had dead bodies all over.
You're right about that.
Mm-hmm. You know what happened, right? There would have been machine gun, and they would have been massacred right there in front of the door.
Right. But one thing I want to say about the COINTELPRO, yeah, right, and you're all right, the COINTELPRO, it was going on back way back in Reconstruction, and during slavery in some form, and we can just bring it up to this period. And there was a film called Mississippi Spies that was out. And I don't know if y'all seen that film. It's showing how, like, the police in Mississippi, how they spied on the civil rights movement. They had people to, black people, to tell them what was going on and things like that. When they would take them to jail, you know, you won't go to jail, just tell us what's happening. But, and then Martin Luther King, COINTELPRO spied on Martin Luther King. Through J. Edgar Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover, he did that. And to bring it on up, J. Edgar Hoover, you know, the COINTELPRO. Hello?
What's that?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's that?
No, that was just a clack on J. Edgar Hoover.
Oh. Okay. Just trying to figure. But he also was involved in the killing of... the COINTELPRO in the killing of Fred Hampton and a lot of the Panthers, too, that COINTELPRO.
Even Huey P. Newton.
Yeah,
Huey P. Newton.
Yeah, Huey P. Newton. And my point is that was the police, that was the federal police, and you had the state COINTELPRO, whatever they did, and you also had the federal. So they kind of worked hand in hand. You know, it was still the police representing the state, using their power to terrorize black and to social control us. Even that time, that was why they was doing it. So moving on up, based on all the discussion that we had so far, do you think things have changed from the time of slavery to Reconstruction to the Jim Crow to the day? Has anything changed in terms of our relationship or the police relationship with the black community? That's a hard question.
Well, definitely, there is a more palpable fear of how people's attitudes of have changed for law enforcement. Mm-hmm. I think about law enforcement, you see a little bit more of they're showing, they always feared us, but now they're showing that fear a little more instead of pretending to be the macho bully all the time. That's I think the big change, if you could call it a big change. Mm-hmm. Definitely not enough, but you do sense that fear a little better than you used to.
Yeah, you do see, I don't know if you say a change, because, okay, they convicted this guy in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and the next minute they killed a 14-year-old girl in Columbus, Ohio. So explain that to me, and then they killed another person recently. So... the cycle continues into some type of real democratic change comes here and laws are passed.
Has anything changed in the policing of the black community since slavery and Reconstruction?
If I might add, I think where the big change is the power relationship. Where before... So the power relationship is a big change. We have a possibility of changing them.
Yeah,
I see we have more tools to make a difference. Yeah, you know, I mean, we got the 19th Act, 1965, 1964 Civil Rights Act, 1965 Voting Rights Act, which is a significant thing, and we didn't have the vote.
That's correct.
You know? So now we got that plus the power of demonstration and what have you, and we're more aware than we are now.
Okay.
So yeah.
But my question too is there any change in the duties and responsibility of the police? You know, their purpose and objective. You know, are they still represent the power structure and carry out the power structure duties or wants?
I may not be saying it correctly, but. Mm. But I think the change is the change in us.
It's us. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
And we have the power to change them. They don't have carte blanche like they had. I mean, when you think about it, I was born in 1934. They were lynching blacks back in those days, four or five a week. They were announcing that there's going to be a lynching on Sunday bring your kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is that the change is not in them, the change is our ability to change them. They're running scared now. You know, them trying to build a suppression. So the relationship in terms of not their attitude has changed. No, their attitude has not changed. But their attitude has changed as we change.
Mm-hmm.
We have the power within them to change. And after all, the police represents 1 million people. Top. Blacks by themselves, without talking about Browns, with 40 million. If we can't change them, we can change them. You know, we have the will and we have to stick to it. This we can change, and I've seen these people change.
Mm-hmm. Well, my view of that would be we change in terms of how we view them in our struggle. But I think the role and responsibility of the police is no different than it was when slavery. They still are here to social control the black community and to terrorize us in some aspect. And that terrorism is the part that keep us in control, that you ain't going to get out of this comfort zone. You ain't going to do this. We going to show you. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying their role and responsibility remain the same. And to say that, because you have a lot of people saying, well, oh, there's some good police. Oh, you know, then there's these just the bad police. I'm saying good or bad, they it's not a bad police or a good police. That is their role and responsibility, is to social control us.
Willie, I can't agree with you more. But I'm saying they will change when we change them. And we can change.
Thank you.
Try to make us believe that we can't change them. We have more power now than we had before, and we can change them, and then we're going to change them.
But
I'm old enough to remember when they say, oh, you're never going to get things to do this or to do that. They change. They change. They act like they don't change, but they have to change their program, and we can change.
But,
and I see that power there, the ability to change.
Mm-hmm.